May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 405. Twixt Jesus and the chosen race subsists a bond of sovereign grace, that hell with its infernal train shall ne'er dissolve nor rend in twain. Hymn 405.
Jesus, the Lord, Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the First Epistle General of Peter, reading chapter 5. The First Epistle General of Peter, reading chapter 5. Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. The peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless his word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O thou who art the high and lofty one who inhabitest eternity, whose name is holy, Lord, we plead that thou wouldst be humbling us under thy mighty hand, that thou mayest be God this evening in our estimation, in our worship, in our desires, that we might be found in our right place, Lord, in the dust. Oh, that our cry might be that cry of real worship. He must increase, I must decrease. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst not leave us till we are found in such a place. But may our cry be with the words of one, nor leave us till we say, Father, thy will be done. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst separate us from the world, from all, Lord, that we have entered into thy house out of. May we be enabled, Lord, to forget all those things, to lose sight of them for a little while. May our desire be to see no man save Jesus only. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst draw near in thy grace, and draw us unto thee. Enlarge our heart, Lord, with love unto thee. Oh, that we might be found, O Lord, running in the way of thy commandments, that we might find our tongues and hearts loose to praise thee as we ought. Oh, that praise might wait for thee in Zion, that thou wouldst give us, Lord, that hunger, that thirst after righteousness, that which the world can never satisfy. But, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to bless us out of thy word, to bless us out of heaven, thy holy place. Too, receive us graciously and remember us for good. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give help this evening in every part of worship. Oh, what poor creatures we are, Lord, and left to ourselves. the carnal mind rises up against the wrestling that we find within ourselves, the devil going about as a roaring lion, the enticing enchantments of this present world. How quickly, Lord, we have to confess we cleave to the dust. Look how we grovel here below, fond of these trifling toys. Our thoughts can neither fly nor go to reach eternal joys. But Lord, that thou wouldst draw near. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, quicken us. That thou wouldst constrain us by the love of Christ. That we might find that burning desire within our souls this evening. Oh, that thou wouldst be high in our esteem. That we might know what it is to cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give the hearing ear and the heart prepared to receive thy word. Help us to be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. May we reduce to practice, Lord, what we hear. Give us more grace. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give help in the preaching of the word. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Give us, Lord, all needed grace, all needed strength. Pour in that there might be that pouring out. Keep the door of our lips, Lord. Oh, lead us not to utter anything which shall be error, which shall lead thy little ones astray. Leave us not, Lord, to settle any of thy little ones down short of Christ. We plead, Lord, that we might not be left to build up false professors. But, oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, give the word clothed with the power of thy Spirit, that it might be effectual in thy work this evening, that sinners might know the power of the gospel, that the dead might live, those who sit in darkness might see that great light. That those of us, Lord, who need leading on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint, we plead thou wouldst draw near to strengthen us with strength within the inner man, to give us more grace, fresh supplies of grace. Instruct us, Lord, in the way that thou wouldst have us to go. Oh, teach us thy ways. Give us, Lord, that teachable spirit. Give us that ear that would desire to hear what the Lord would say. Oh, we plead, Lord, that we might know no will but thine this evening. Make us submissive to all thy most holy will. Bind up, Lord, where there needs to be the binding up. Comfort where, Lord, there is distress. Oh, we plead thou wouldst correct, Lord, where any might be astray, and us chief among them. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thy word might be made effectual in the midst of thy people here this evening, that none may feel they've gathered in vain. But that it might be one of those occasions marked out by thy Spirit as one of thy appointed times in thy house. Be, Lord, with the church and congregation here. Remember the office bearers. Hold them up, Lord. Give them all needed grace and all needed strength. We plead that thou wouldst, if it could be thy good pleasure, bless the ministry here week by week. But all grant them an under-shepherd according to thy heart. Set, O Lord, a faithful pastor over them. We do desire, Lord, that thou wouldst bless each church member. Grant that they might know that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May, Lord, they have that one desire, that one mind. Lord, that we might be found more as that church of which we read in Acts 2. They had all things common. They dwelt together, one doctrine, in fellowship, in love and union. Lord, how far we are fallen. How is the fine gold become dim? Oh, we plead, Lord, could it be thy good pleasure thou wouldst yet arise within our churches and grant that we might be found more formed after that gospel pattern. Oh, that thou wouldst be forming Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, that thou wouldst be stirring up thy church in the day in which we live, that we might not be found sleeping, but that we might be found watching, waiting for thine appearing. Add, Lord, to the church, if it could be thy good pleasure. Oh, constrained by thy love. Fill, Lord, this place once more with thine honour and thy glory, testimonies to thy grace. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with those who mourn at this time, draw near to comfort them. May they prove, Lord, that thou art their help. And we seek, Lord, that thou wouldst bless and sanctify these things to the good of us each. Lord, how solemnly we may pass through deep waters, that we may pass through great trials, but accept, Lord, thy blessing should be upon them. Oh, we do desire, Lord, that thou wouldst be blessing these things unto the good of each soul, that these things may not be in vain. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the children and young people in the congregation, be keeping their hearts and minds in the day in which they're growing up. Bless, Lord, the parents and give them all needed grace and wisdom and strength to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And be with us, Lord, in the busy scenes of life, in the workplace, in the family, Lord. Oh, we do desire that thou wouldst give us day by day those fresh supplies of grace. Help us to wait on thee. Oh, may we be faithful disciples, Lord. May we not be found as that salt which has lost its savour. The light put under the bushel, but oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be causing that thy people might yet be those witnesses to thee in our day and generation. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst remember the aged friends in retirement. Those who may spend many hours alone, may they find, Lord, thy presence with them. Remind us, Lord, how quickly time is passing. Oh, we plead thou wouldst teach us to number our days, that we may be found applying our hearts unto wisdom. Prepare us, Lord, for our end, if we know not what a moment or an hour may bring forth. Oh, we plead that thou wouldst not leave us, Lord, to coast along, satisfied with what this world can bring forth, but oh, that we might be found amongst those who look, that desire, that long, oh, for that place which Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And Lord, that we might wait with expectation thy return. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst have mercy upon any that are without that hope. Any, O Lord, that walk in darkness. If they feel they walk in darkness this evening, Lord, we plead. Oh, thou wouldst teach them to pray for light, and may the light arise and shine in their hearts. And any, Lord, that are found in darkness in thy house this evening, know it not. Oh, can it be thy good pleasure, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to have mercy upon such. We'd ask, Lord, thou wouldst bless thy one true church throughout the earth, thy servants wherever they labour this evening, thy word wherever it goes forth, may it not return unto thee void. Oh, do, O Lord, have mercy upon thy persecuted church. And any, Lord, found in prison or in fear of their life this evening for the sake of the gospel, remember them for good. And Lord, within our own churches, within Zion, within our land, Lord, how far we are fallen. Oh, do, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, leave us not as we read in thy word, the godly man ceases. But there were none that laid it to heart. Lord, we do desire, oh, that we might be amongst those that are exercised concerning the state of Zion, that have to mourn not just for the abominations done in the land, but, Lord, the abominations which are found within our own souls and within the Church of Christ. Oh, we do desire, Lord, that thou wouldst be having mercy upon us. We would, O Lord, draw some comfort from that fact thou wilt bring the third part through the fire. Thou wilt try them. Lord, thou wilt refine them. None of thy people can be lost. Thou wilt sift thy church, but not the least grain shall fall to the ground. Oh, we do desire, Lord, that we might have that hope this evening, that though the least grain, that in thy hands we are safe. Oh, do arise, Lord, and glorify thyself and thy most holy name once more within the midst of Zion. Oh, reign o'er us as king, accomplish thy will, and powerfully bring us forth from all ill, till falling before thee, we laud thy love name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. Have mercy, Lord, upon our land, thy judgments still upon us. But Lord, where is the sanctifying of these things? Where is the effect within our own souls? Where is the effect, Lord, of the rod within the churches and within our land? Oh, what solemn place, Lord, we are found in. Oh, we plead thou wouldst arise, Lord, that thou wouldst revive thy work, the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. Do, O Lord, draw near this evening to bless us. Grant, Lord, that we might know thy presence. Help us to praise thee, Lord, for all thy mercy past. Help us to praise in trust for mercies yet to come. Oh, may our testimony be this evening, goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Help us, Lord, to come and to give thee thanks for thy many mercies unto us in Providence. Thy mercies during another year since we were last met with the friends here. Lord, all that has come to pass, all we do desire that we may be enabled to see this evening the loving hand of our Saviour upon them, not in anger but in his dear covenant love. And thus, with a sense, Lord, of love unto sinners as so unworthy, oh, that we might come, Lord, with broken hearts, contrite spirits, which sacrifice thou wilt not despise. Ah, Lord, for above all else, the precious blood of Jesus, which taketh away all sin. Ah, for the humility of the blessed Son of God, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, found in fashion as a man, form as a servant, became obedient unto death. Lord, we do desire that we might find that love within our hearts this evening to Jesus Christ and him crucified. There might be that going out of the camp and unto him. Oh, that he would be high in our esteem. Lord, that he would reign within us. Do, O Lord, forgive us now of all our sins. Blot out all our transgressions. Have mercy upon us. Draw near to bless us in singing thy praise, in preaching and hearing the word. And all we plead, Lord, that we would not let thee go except thou bless us. Receive us graciously, love us freely. We'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the Lord will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113. Thank you.
the Lord would help me this evening, grant you prayer for attention. I direct you to a text you'll find in the chapter that we read together, the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 5, and commencing to read again at verse 5. 1 Peter 5, commencing to read again at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The words particularly upon my mind are those of verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This is an exhortation to the Lord's people to humble themselves. By nature, we will never be humble. By nature, we are proud creatures. We think of ourselves more than we ought to think. But blessed be God, he humbles. And this is the beginning of the work of grace, when the Lord humbles and brings us into a state of humility. When he brings us to realise we're not what we thought we were, that we have no righteousness, that we have no strength, that we are sinners, worthy only of endless death, not worthy of anything that we partake of day by day. No worthiness at the gate of heaven, no worthiness of ourselves at the mercy seat of Christ, but wretches. Friends, it's grace. God giveth grace to the humble. This is a mystery of the work of grace. It's grace that begins the work of grace. It's grace that humbles. And then God continues to give more of this grace, that the life of grace within the Lord's people should be greater and greater humility. Oh, friends, what a solemn question. Have we really begun in the work of grace? Is the work of grace really begun in us? How far has that work progressed? Friends, how humble are we this evening? Are we found within our text, or do we need the text to speak to us? Do we need the Lord to bless his word unto us, so we might be found pleading with him? He giveth grace to the humble. He giveth more grace, that we should be more humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, I quoted in prayer, but I love that expression of John the Baptist. You know, friends, I feel that is true worship. That is the shortest summary you'll find in the word of God, I believe, of the work of grace in the soul of man. He must increase, I must decrease. And except your religion has that hallmark about it this evening, except that is the effect of the Spirit's work within you, then, friends, solemnly, we must conclude we are weighed in the balance and found wanting. He must increase, I must decrease. Friends, do you know anything of this in your soul's experience? You know, I believe it is a balancing equation. As much as he increases in our estimation, we will be decreasing in our estimation. And I would encourage you this evening to stick to the positive side of the equation rather than the negative side of the equation. Friends, is Christ precious to you? More precious than he once was? Do you feel your need of him this evening more than you felt your need of him in the past? Do you love him more? Do you see more beauty, more glory in him? Do you come to his word and rejoice in what you read there concerning the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world? Friends, if so, he is increasing. And as much as he increases, we must be decreasing. We're poor judges sometimes of the work of grace. We may spend too much on the negative side of the equation, but they equal one another. And so I would encourage you this evening in your self-examination to examine the positive side. What does Christ mean to you? That is the question, isn't it? The only test that Jesus Christ gives in the Gospels. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Whom say ye that I am? What think ye of Christ is a test. To try both our state and our scheme, we cannot be right in the rest unless we think rightly of him. You know, friends, it won't matter how small thoughts you have of yourself unless you find you have some great thoughts of Christ. And some seem to emphasise so much of the littleness that they feel within themselves. They'll tell you they're sinners. They'll tell you their great list of sins. but they never come to speak of any preciousness they find in Christ. Ah, friends, such religion is quite old, quite false. So come to the positive side this evening. What think ye of Christ? What does Christ mean to you? Is he increasing in your estimation? Ah, friends, if he is, then you're in our text, humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. But friends, we wanted to come to say, first of all, what does this humility mean? What is it to be found humbled under the mighty hand of God? Well, in simplest terms, it's for God to be in his right place and you to be in your right place. You know, if we are not humbled under the hand of God, then we are putting ourselves above the hand of God. And what does that mean? We're making ourselves God. We're making ourselves God. That is the spirit of the world. God is not in all their thoughts. They set themselves up as God. They say, we will not have this man to reign over us. They do not want to know anything of God. They tread God under their feet. And you know, friends, solemnly left to ourselves, we're found with the same spirit. We're hewn from the same rock. We're taken from the same substance. We're descended from the same parents, from Adam and Eve. Friends, just being born a strict Baptist, attending Swavesey Chapel, won't keep you from that spirit. It's in us by nature. We want to stand on the hand of God rather than being under the hand of God. We want to be God. We want to be God. We may allow God to be God, as it were, all the while he allows us to do what we want. All the while he doesn't interfere with us. But as soon as his word crosses us, as soon as we find ourselves condemned by his word, as soon as we find something inconvenient in his word, friends, as soon as we want our own way and God says no, then we make ourselves God. We resist him. We stand above him. But humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, friends, to be found humble before God, it is to be found in our right place under God. It's to be found confessing he is God. The only self-existent being who sits on no precarious throne nor borrows leave to be. Ah, friends, to realise the vast gulf there is between us and God. We are created. We depend on God for everything. Oh, everything concerning our life, the beginning of our life, the end of our life, the daily sustaining of our life, everything we partake of day by day. Ah, friends, all comes from God. Do you realise that this evening? Those who are humbled under the mighty hand of God, they will have some realisation of this. Friends, you see, it's for us to be put in our right place. And what is that? To be found as we came into this world, naked we came into this world, without anything. Helpless we came into this world, utterly without strength. Friends, such we are by nature, without strength. When you were without strength, the apostle says, Christ died for us. When we were naked and miserable, sinners, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To be humbled under the mighty hand of God is to be bought, to have some sense, some realisation of that. For us to be found in the dust and for God to be exalted high. Friends, for us to realise that we are upon earth, God is in heaven. To come into a real sense of what Isaac Watts says, our lives through various scenes are drawn and vexed with trifling cares, but thy eternal thought moves on, thy undisturbed affairs. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, friends, it is to be found submissive to this God, to our God. Oh, to be found submissive to his will, to desire to know what his will is, to desire to walk in his will, to be found daily asking, Lord, what will thou me to do? You see, friends, that's the effect of grace in the life of the Apostle Paul. As soon as God shone in him to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, what was the immediate response? Lord, what will they have me to do? There was Paul, humbled under the mighty hand of God. Paul put down in the dust. God raised high in his estimation. His cry was now no longer what he wanted to do, but what would God have him to do? Graciously turns us round, changes the heart, renews the will, turns the feet to Zion's will. It was Zion's heel. It brings us in submissive to the holy will of God. Friends, are you humbled under the mighty hand of God this evening? Is your question as you come into Swavesey Chapel this evening, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Or have you come in telling the Lord what you want him to do? Have you come in telling the Lord what you want to do tomorrow and asking his blessing upon it? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, you know, friends, this humility, it comes with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, friends, to be found content with our lot. To be humbled under the mighty hand of God is to be found content with our lot. What he in his wisdom has seen most best, to either take away from us or to give to us. To be content with it, be it little or much. Friends, be it trouble or joy, in poverty or riches, sickness or health. To be found, learning the lesson of the apostle, in whatsoever state he was in, therein to be content. You know, friends, what a high standard. Do you need to make this a prayer this evening? Lord, give me this humility. Humble me under thy mighty hand. Make me content with that which in thy wisdom, in thy love, in thy mercy and in thy grace thou hast given me. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, friends, be patient to wait. Be still and know that I am God. That was what God said unto the psalmist. Be still and know that I am God. You know, friends, if you're found impatient this evening when God's silent, if you're found impatient when God's not moving as you think he ought to, you're getting above the hand of God. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Oh, wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. Oh, be patient, be patient. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Friends, there was the cry of the psalmist under the mighty hand of God. Wait thou only upon God. Wait on him. Wait at all times on the Lord. No time of exception, you see, to be found patient. God's time is always best. As for God, his way is perfect. He never is before his time. He never is too late. Oh, friends, it is to rest with that humble confidence upon him, believing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we're even able to ask or think. Believing that his wisdom knows what's best. He knows the end from the beginning. Believing what the apostle says. Friends, can you come in with the apostle this evening with a certainty? For we know. Not just that we've been told. Not just as some good men suppose. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Friends, such is being humbled under the mighty hand of God. Oh, being enabled to, by grace, given that confidence to wait on him, to believe. When we cannot understand the way that he's taking us, when we cannot understand what he's doing with us. Friends, when he may have his path in the storm, when he may plant his footsteps in the sea, when we may have to sit under those clouds we dread, that Cooper speaks of, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds ye so much dread, are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Friends, are you enabled this evening to believe? That whatsoever may be coming to pass in your life and in your soul's experience, however black the cloud may be, however it may seem to hide the Lord from your face, however it may seem to cover the pathway in front of you, you do not know what tomorrow may bring forth, but to be enabled to believe. The Lord is above all. He's working everything according to the counsels of his good pleasure. He cannot let one of his people fall to the ground. He will provide. Yes, a lion's young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Friends, humble confidence in the Lord. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Praise. Oh, you know, friends, this is the posture of praise. This is what the world so misjudges about humility. It's what carnal reason so misjudges about humility. The world detests humility. What is humility but that which is downcast? That which thinks such small thoughts, so dark, so dreary. They would tell you to cheer yourself up and to think more of yourself. Friends, they do not understand the sweetness of this humility. The sweetness of what it is by grace to wait only upon the Lord. The sweetness to desire that the Lord would lead you, that he would guide you, that you would not be left to yourself. But the Lord's people prove this position, humbled under the mighty hand of God, is the safest place. Friends, under the mighty hand of God, we have those bulwarks of salvation. We have that hiding place, that pavilion in the day of trouble. Under the mighty hand of God, we're safe from all our enemies, safe from ourselves. He that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. The shepherd boy in Pilgrim's Progress, friends, he knew the sweetness, didn't he, of what it was to be humbled under the mighty hand of God, the safety, the security, the blessing. Oh, you know, the times in our life when we may know what it is to really be humbled under the mighty hand of God. Are they not the sweetest times in our life, friends? Are they not the sweetest times? If I know anything, they are, you know. Those occasions when the world may think that we are in our blackest times, everything around us giving way. But to be found, as what the hymn writer says, when all around my soul gives way. Oh, to find Jesus, our strength, our stay, our comfort, the joy and the rejoicing of our souls. Oh, you know, friends, it's a time for praise. A time for praise. We sing then in the midst of the fire, don't we? You know, I go back to it time and time again of recent months. Paul and Silas found in the prison. Oh, friends, why were they found in the prison? For faithfulness. For doing that which God would have them to do. The world would say, well, wouldn't your God reward you rather than cause you to be ended up there in prison? But by faithfully preaching the gospel, Paul and Silas are found in prison. Oh, old reason would sit there and say, all these things are against me. But no. Friends, grace in the heart of Paul and Silas, what are they found doing at midnight? They sang psalms. Friends, they praised their God, humbled under the mighty hand of God. And at midnight, as they were found singing their psalms, God worked. God worked. Be still, you see, and know that I am God. God brought them out of the prison. A mighty earthquake. The doors opened. The heart of the jailer opened. Oh, to be humbled under the mighty hand of God is a place of praise. Oh, a place of praise unto him. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, friends, we wanted to say something concerning this mighty hand of God. What is it we are to be humbled under? Some very definite things. First of all, if we are humbled under the mighty hand of God, we'll be humbled under his law, under the precept of his word. Friends, we'll be found living according to his word, and what his word says, we'll be seeking grace to walk in. Solemn question, isn't it? What does the word of God mean to you? What does it mean to me? Friends, is our walk, our conduct, our conversation in accordance with the word of God? If it's not, then can we say this evening we're humbled under the mighty hand of God? God has spoken. Oh, friends, he's given us complete direction. Every direction we need in life, found in the word of God. No deficiency in it. Oh, you know, friends, a very solemn thing to say, to testify there's some deficiency in the word of God. Everything we require for salvation is in the word of God. Are we found walking according to it? You know, friends, too many people, and I have to count myself among them. By nature, we come to the word of God, we find something we don't like. We put it to one side. We skip over it in our reading. Oh, I hear of that when I've got a more convenient time. Cuts us off. We don't like that passage being read. It comes a bit close. You know, friends, that's not humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God is to be found coming to the word of God. What does the word of God say in a matter? And when the word of God speaks concerning a matter, then that's the way we must walk in. Regardless of what our friends think, regardless of what the church of God misguidedly might think at times, regardless of what the minister in the pulpit left to himself may say, friends, it's what the word of God says. To be humbled under the hand of God, the mighty hand of God is to be humbled under his word. to be found desiring to know what his word says and walk in it. Walk in it. Ah, so many of us left to ourselves is our opinion. Ah, friends, it's what we want the word of God to say. But no, if we are humbled under the mighty hand of God, it will be what does the word of God say? And it will be then seeking grace to walk in it. Grace to walk in it. What a sweet comfort, you know. The words of the hymn writer are true. The way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Oh, you know, friends, it's a blessing when we feel the Lord with us in the pathway. But when we can't see the Lord, friends, we are not left without guidance. The word of God. If we are found walking in the way of God, even though we cannot feel the presence of Jesus with us, it is still the sure way, the only way. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. In providence. Our friends, God reveals his will in providence. God, we believe, God overrules everything that comes to pass in this world. Nothing comes to pass by chance. Our thrice comfortable hope, the storm calms my stormy breast. The Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. The fixtures, powers of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to thine eye. Ah, friends, do you believe it? You know it's easy to say these things, and it's easy to say we believe it. It's another thing to have to walk it out, isn't it? Ah, when everything seems to go against us. But take dear Job for a moment. Ah, friends, there was one humbled under the mighty hand of God. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ah, you know, friends, there is this contentment. There is this confidence. Though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Ah, friends, there's the confidence of Job. There's the praise. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Ah, friends, the hand of providence. You say to me, but it was the work of the devil under the permission of God, friends. There's the providence of God. Nothing could have come to pass in Job's life except God had given his permission for it. Job lost all, didn't he? Everything. His possessions, his cattle, friends, his flocks, his sons and his daughters, the love and the union with his wife who said, curse God and die. Friends, his friends who came to try and help him and instead they hindered him. His health and his strength as he sat there with his boils upon the potsherd. But Job did not lose his God. He never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. Trust him. He will not deceive us. Though we hardly of him deem, he will never, never leave us, nor let us quite leave him. Oh, friends, what has providence brought into your life this evening? What may providence bring into your life tomorrow? Things that you cannot even see today. Ah, friends, things you may not even be able to comprehend. Things you look not for. Those mighty acts of God that the Lord's people look not for, but he brings them to pass. What a blessing if we are found humbled under the mighty hand of God, enabled to say it is the Lord. Enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Ah, friends, what providence did in the life of Eli as he took his sons. Oh, that judgment of God upon his household. But where was Eli, humbled under the mighty hand of God? It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good in his sight. Ah, friends, what solemn words. What solemn words, yet what blessed words. The testimony of one humbled under the mighty hand of God. It is the Lord. Ah, can you distrust, contradict his gracious will? It is the Lord. To be humbled under the mighty hand of God, I was dumb because thou didst it. Perhaps that's where you are this evening. I was dumb because thou didst it. Ah, friends, you cannot even say it is the Lord. But your dumbness gives testimony to the fact. You're humbled under the mighty hand of God. I was dumb because thou didst it. Says the psalmist. Oh, friends, to be found in providence. submissive to the Lord's will, to be found yielding our all into his hands, our life into his hands, all our possessions into his hands. Whatsoever he may take away from us, whatsoever he may lay upon us, whatsoever he may bring into our lives. Ah, friends, he gives us blessings. An unblessed good. As Faber says in that hymn, unblessed a good. Oh, will be to us for ill. But that trouble which is sanctified, it will be for our good. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, friends, especially his chastenings, his discipline. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God is to note his discipline. To own, friends, from whence his discipline comes. The hand of a gracious Father. Oh, you know, friends, the cup of wrath has been drunk up by Jesus Christ on behalf of his people. The wrath of God is not seen in any of his dealings with his people. Not in anger, as the hymn writer rightly says, but in his dear covenant love. Ah, you know, there can be no wrath of God towards the sin of his people, because the sins of his people have been taken away in the death of Jesus Christ. And God is righteous. Payment God cannot twice demand, once at my bleeding shirt his hand, and then again at mine. No, friends, that cup has been drunk quite up. Whatsoever cup may be put in your hand this evening, friends, whatsoever rod may be laid upon you, it's not in anger, not in wrath against your sins. Friends, it's in love, loving correction, that he might correct and bring back. What a mercy when we are found humbled under the mighty hand of God. Friends, to own the righteousness of God's dealings with us. To own that he has a right to rule over us. To own that all his dealings with us in love, in mercy, in a purpose of grace towards our soul. Oh, friends, are you under the discipline of God this evening? Do you need to be humbled under it? Are you chafing? Are you resisting his will? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Grace, friends. Grace. You know your hymn. You just sung something of this up. Ah, Jesus, my soul's compelled to flee from all its wrath and curse to thee. Though oft through pride my stubborn will to Sinai feels a cleaving still. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Ah, friends, in grace. To be found bought naked. To be found bought without any good. To cleave simply to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, friends, by nature we want to save ourselves. By nature we want to work out our own righteousness. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, his precious blood means nothing to us by nature. We think we've got the power to save ourselves. We think we've got the right to save ourselves. We look to the law. We look to our own strength. We look to our own righteousness. Friends, do you need the Spirit of God to speak to you this evening? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season. Oh, friends, to be found looking alone to grace, cleaving alone to grace, cleaving alone to the way God has made, the Lamb of God which he's provided. Oh, you know, friends, what a solemn thing. Abel was found humbled under the mighty hand of God, cleaving to the sacrifice which God had provided. He bought a lamb without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. Cain, friends, he was not found humbled. The pride of his heart, he bought the fruit of his labours. Friends, he bought all the good things he'd grown in the ground, he bought them to try and parley with God. He bought them as that in which might merit esteem or give his creator delight. Friends, God received not of his offering. Oh, that we might not be found as Cain this evening, but that we might be found as Abel. You know, I would speak solemnly, friends. I would speak lovingly. I come across some in the churches. Oh, they'll tell you they're sinners. They'll tell you all their sins. But there's none of this humbling under the mighty hand of God when it comes to grace. They're proud. Oh, friends, how does that pride manifest itself? I need to know I'm one of the elect. Oh, you know, friends, demanding that God should uncover what he is not pleased to reveal. Oh, you know, friends, that is not humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, Sometimes use the illustration at home, a drowning person is found there in the water and a rope is cast unto them. Oh, you know, friends, if you're drowning, you take that rope, don't you? You don't ask who's throwing the rope. You don't ask whether it was meant for you. You need that salvation. You need that rope that you might be saved from the water, that you might be pulled out. Oh, you know, friends, that's humbling ourselves. That's humbling ourselves. Putting ourselves in the hand of the one that has cast the rope, trusting that they've got the strength to pull us in. But we're helpless, absolutely helpless. The alternative is death. And so we flee to the refuge, we flee to the rope that's been provided. Ah, friends, we put our trust in it. But you know, there are those that if that rope was held out to them, they'd begin to ask questions. Ah, friends, while they're drowning, they'd be asking, is this rope really meant for me? Who is holding the rope? Oh, friends, you know, to be humbled under the mighty hand of God, to be found humbled under the mighty hand of God when it comes to grace, is to have to come with all our filthiness, all our wretchedness, owning, oh, we deserve only endless death, endless ruin, black despair, but to come and plead alone upon the grounds of the gospel, the blood which was for sinners spilled, and that the gospel is proclaimed, whosoever will, let him come, take of the water of life freely. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, oh, come by without money and without price. Ah, oh, you know, friends, that is how the Lord's people have to come, humbled. That is why, oh, friends, salvation is so hard to the rich man. Ah, oh, why, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Because all his self-sufficiency, everything that he has to rely upon. What a mercy, friends, the sovereign power of God giveth grace to the humble. Ah, friends, he gives grace. And what does grace do? It humbles us. It brings us down. Empties us out of all help in ourselves, all hope in ourselves. It brings us to look alone to his recovering grace. Brings us to look alone to that mercy which is in Jesus Christ, to that precious blood which cleanses from all sin. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Oh, friends, what a mercy it is this evening if we're brought there, owning that we have no right to that precious blood, but come and plead in that precious blood because it was shed for sinners, and we're a poor sinner. And find it. Oh, for that precious blood has power to take away Mary and Manasseh's sins and sins more vile than they. Oh, hear what the Apostle Paul said, who was an injurious blasphemer, persecutor, but the grace of the Lord Jesus exceeding abundant, I obtained mercy, faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, you know, friends, you will not be humbled under the mighty hand of God till you're brought down there. To find in Christ all your hope, all your salvation, and all your desire. And when you're brought there, friends, when he is your all, when he is your salvation, then you're found within this word, humbled under the mighty hand of God, exalted in due season. Because as we're brought down there, friends, as we're brought down to absolute rock bottom, as we're brought down to feel our blackness, from the borders of the pit, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. And all friends exalted, that he may exalt you in due time. In place of hell, he gives us heaven. In place of our sin, friends, our sins washed away, clothed in that precious righteousness. Place all our unholiness. Friends, he is sanctifying us. Oh, he will sanctify us. The God of grace sanctify you wholly. Faithful is he who calleth you also will do it. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, friends, under the powers that be. The powers that be are ordained of God. You know, and I have not got time to go into it this evening, but much quoted over recent months and over the last 2 years, that passage in the Epistle to the Romans, in the 13th chapter, where we read there Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Oh, friends, there is the solemnity of not being found humbled under the mighty hand of God. If we resist the power that God has set over us, then we receive to ourselves damnation. Why, friends? Because we resist God. We resist God. Friends, if we are not found under the hand of God, we are found making ourselves God. And what is the end of the fall? That makes himself God. But the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, resisting the hand of God over us. Those that God has set over us, they shall receive to themselves damnation. There has been some confusion, I feel, over the spheres where God places authority. God gives authority to the civil magistrate here to the state. In their sphere, God gives that authority to the church. And you know, friends, we read the same solemn thing concerning those who resist the authority of God in the church. There in the 18th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus says that if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But you see, friends, the church is the power of God. The church is the authority of God. It is the body of Christ. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, friends, the church has the authority of God. If we resist the church, what a solemn place we are found in. We bring damnation upon ourselves as a heathen man and as a publican. Why? Because we are not found humbled under the mighty hand of God. We're found setting ourselves up as God. Well may Paul say in the epistle to the Romans, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" Oh, friends, what a solemn word. But if we're not found humbled under the mighty hand of God, then Paul is speaking to us, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" Friends, if we are found replying against God this evening, except in his mercy he should remember us for good, except in his love he should draw near to save us from ourselves, friends, we'll be self-destroyers, bringing damnation upon ourselves. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Friends, regarding the church, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, his ordinances. Friends, he has given those commands, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Friends, can you resist the hand of God? Would you resist his word? Would you resist his command? Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Friends, I'm certain of this. Not all of the Lord's people will pass through the waters of baptism. Not all of them will partake of the Lord's Supper. But the path of disobedience, friends, it's hard. The path of disobedience, we must lose much comfort and much joy because we are found outside of this humility. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, to the office bearers in the church, as we are read of here, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Friends, there we find this humility under the mighty hand of God. God calls, God appoints. Friends, what a solemn thing it is when the Lord's people are left to resist. Moses was left to resist, wasn't he? The Lord was angry with him. Oh, you know, friends, a solemn thing if we are left to ourselves that the Lord should be angry with us. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. Oh, you see, friends, to be found submissive to God in all that he has appointed, in his church, in the magistrate, in the civil authority he has set up over us. Ah, friends, in the ordinance of his house, in that which he calls us to, in his word, in his commandment. Ah, friends, in providence. To be found submissive to God. What will he have me to do? You know, friends, it will be a blessed thing if we are found as that servant who, though he resisted and said he would not go, but afterward he went, humbled under the mighty hand of God. And mercy, friends, if there are any Naamans here this evening that have been told, go wash in Jordan 7 times. But as you came into the Lord's house this evening, you were saying, are not the rivers of Damascus are better than this little, feeble, poor Jordan? But oh, friends, what did Naaman have to prove? Power belongeth unto God. There was only one way. Only one way to healing. Only one way to recovery. Humble yourself there for under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Oh, as soon as Naaman was found with that humility, humbled. Oh, as soon as he was brought down, not my will, thy will. As soon as he was brought down to obedience. Ah, friends, what did he prove? A perfect cure. A perfect cure. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Oh, friends, why should we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God this evening? Why should we humble ourselves under him? First of all, he's God. We have to begin with first principles. He's God. Oh, friends, he's got a perfect right to rule over us. He's got a perfect right to have us in subjection this evening. We are creatures. Our whole being hangs upon him. Our friends, our whole life is found in dependence upon him, whether we know it or we know it not, whether we want to acknowledge it or whether we acknowledge it. Our friends, the fact is, we hang upon God. Therefore, we should be found walking this pathway. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. But God, friends, is not some despot that demands our obedience. No, friends, he reveals himself to us, righteous in all his dealings. Ah, friends, everything he does is perfect. The testimony of the Lord's people as they look back, humbled under the mighty hand of God, is this: as for God, his way is perfect. Ah, friends, if you can say that this evening, looking back over your life, your experience this evening, whether it be short or whether it be long. But I trust from time to time the Lord's people can look back and say they wouldn't have anything different. Ah, looking back through the lens of grace, they can see all the way the Lord has led them. Wisdom's ways, ways of pleasantness, and all her paths of peace. Not what the world thinks, but in times of greatest trouble, of in times of greatest joy. Ah, friends, as for God, his way is perfect. If you prove that in the past this evening, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God regarding your life tomorrow. Because, friends, it must be perfect tomorrow, mustn't it? Because there's no change in God. He's righteous. Friends, everything he does, perfect. God is good, isn't he? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise God, that is, praise God for what he is. He is good, and everything he does is good. Friends, he's filled with love and mercy towards his people. He loves his people. And therefore, friends, we can entrust ourselves into his hands, because his hands are loving hands. Underneath are the everlasting arms. They will not let us fall. Friends, they're hands of love. As the sparrows in the Song of Solomon felt, those arms that were round about her. What a mercy it is when the Lord's people feel it to be so. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me, encircling love. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Ah, you know, friends, some come across some young women who have said, well, they could not promise to obey their husband in the marriage service. But one or two friends I've come across a few years later, all of that is gone. Why? Because they've discovered the one in whose hands they place themselves. Friends, they are not the hands of one that desires to rule over them. but one who loves, one who desires the best for them, one who wants to hold them up and support them, to honour them, to lead them by a right way. Ah, friends, if we are found in the hands of such a husband, can we not trust that husband? Can we not lean upon them? Or is it any different for the Lord's people? Oh, friends, what a husband we've got. Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, the lover of our soul. He loves us. A demonstration of that love. Oh, he gave himself for us. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ah, friends, he freely offered up his son for us. How shall he not also freely give us all things? He cannot deny himself. Ah, you know, friends, what a God we've got, you see. Full of love for his people. Faithful. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Ah, you know, friends, this is why the Lord's people should be found seeking humility under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because it's under a rule of love. Ah, friends, it's under a rule which is faithful, righteous, good. But then we read here, for God resisteth the proud, God hates pride. Oh, friends, do you want to be found in a place which God hates this evening? Can you be happy having it written concerning you, God hates you? God resisteth the proud. Ah, friends, he cannot abide pride. Why? Because pride sets man up as God. Puts man above God. But blessed be God, he giveth grace to the humble. Ah, friends, he gives grace to humble. And he continues to give grace. Ah, that we might be more humbled. That Christ should be formed in us. The hope of glory. Oh, that we should be found in that beautiful picture of the work of grace in the soul, where we read this, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ah, friends, that is the end of the work of grace. Neither know we what we shall be, yet we know that when he shall appear we shall be like him and we shall see him. Oh, friends, to be found like him. And what do we read concerning him? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, you know, friends, Jesus Christ is a pattern for our humility. The pattern for our humility, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. The psalmist says in the 118th psalm, and it's a beautiful expression, thy gentleness hath made me great. You'll find that word translated in the margin, thy meekness. You'll find the same Hebrew word is translated almost everywhere else in the Old Testament, humility. Thy humility hath made me great. What is the psalmist speaking of? Ah, friends, he's speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. It's through him the Lord's people receive their greatness. He is our all. He is our treasure. Thy gentleness, thy meekness, thy humility. The person of Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, he gives grace that at last we should be found like him, fashioned after him, the stature of the perfect man. Ah, friends, that is where grace is bringing us this evening. He giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. But he continues casting all your care upon him. Ah, friends, this is this humility, you see, this contentment, this submission, this waiting upon him, casting all your care upon him. And what is the reason for? He careth for you. Ah, friends, he careth for you. He loves his people. He's performing that work in them. Ah, friends, he will not let us go. He cares for us. He will provide all we have need of. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. We wanted to come to this when, friends. Now, when does this word apply? You say to me, it continues that he might exalt you in due time. When is this due time? God's time. Our friends, that's God's time. God doesn't reveal his time to us. God doesn't reveal his ways to us. Friends, God's time is a perfect time. We have to tarry his leisure. We have to wait his appointments, knowing that his time will be perfect. But that does not mean that we wait. till he exalts us. It does not mean that we wait until he appears in love, that we wait until he appears in all his glory before we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. No, friends, we are to be found walking this pathway now. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Peter asked that question when the Lord appeared to them, the disciples by the Sea of Galilee, what will this man do? The Lord said unto him, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Ah, you know, friends, that is the pathway of discipleship. We're not to wait. We're to be found following the Lord. Too many disciples, and left to myself, friends, I have to stand in self-condemnation this evening. We wait. When the Lord blesses, then. Perhaps you're there this evening. When the Lord blesses me, then. When the Lord gives me a word, then. When so and so happens, then. No. Friends, his due time is in his hand. But we, in the present time, are called to this. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Oh, friends, don't resist him this evening. God resisteth the proud. Don't resist him. Oh, friends, if you say, but I have no strength for this, how can I go? I'm weak, I'm poor, I'm feeble. Ah, friends, go in this. He giveth grace to the humble. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength made perfect in thy weakness. You'll never humble yourself, friends. You'll never be able to go of yourself. But God gives all that's required. My grace sufficient for thee. My strength made perfect in thy weakness. Therefore, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss will preach next Lord's Day and at our Thanksgiving services on Saturday next week. Our closing hymn is 422. Who can describe the joys that rise through all the courts of paradise to see a prodigal return, to see an heir of glory born? Hymn 422.
forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house this evening. Do bless, Lord, thy word unto us. Give us the ear to hear. Give us, Lord, the grace to obey. Help us, Lord, that we might be found humbled under thy mighty hand. Lord, that we might enter into the fullness of all the blessings that thou hast prepared for us, that thou mayest exalt us in due time. Part us, Lord, now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us through the night, Lord. Prepare us for all thy unknown will. Give us here grace, hereafter glory. Prepare us for our end. Forgive us for every sin, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.